There is no one recipe for great leadership. Sometimes the men and women who emerge as leaders are the ones who are the most firmly wedded to their vision and principles. At other times, it is the more flexible and practical who thrive. Even traits that might seem to be obvious assets to leadership are sometimes not as important as we assume. Take, for example, intelligence. Often the connection between it and successful leadership seems shaky at best. There are even times when it seems like an inverse correlation. Our most influential presidents, George Washington, Franklin Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, were not necessarily our smartest ones, but rather the wisest at the tricky art of balancing pragmatism and principle. That is one reason why crucial moments often call for a mix of leadership skills. That was true of America's birth. Each of America's founders displayed different, yet complementary traits. George Washington possessed unassailable rectitude and stature. John Adams and his cousin Samuel showed great passion and fealty to principle. Thomas Jefferson and his protege, James Madison, displayed elegant creative intelligence. Benjamin Franklin was inventive and pragmatic to the core, and had a wry wit that warmed rather than wounded those around him. But most important in those tumultuous years, Franklin was sage enough to bring passionate people together to lead them by listening to them. Likewise, the history of a nation is probably best served by a mix of leadership styles over the years, sometimes creating a pattern of reactions and then counter-reactions to what went before. There seems to be something charmed about America's political cycles that, along with an element of luck, serves up the people who are the right antidote or complement to the leaders who preceded them. The devious and darkly suspicious style of Richard Nixon, aided by the manipulative genius of Henry Kissinger, was suited to creating a triangular balance of power and détente with China and Russia. But Nixon's devious excesses at home and amoral realism abroad were countered by the fortuitous emergence of Gerald Ford and the election of Jimmy Carter, each of whom had a more solid moral grounding. One of the themes of the essays in this book is that the greatest challenge of leadership is to know when to be flexible and pragmatic, on the one hand, and when it is, instead, a moment to stand firm on principle and clarity of vision. Even the best leaders get this wrong sometimes. I learned this when writing a biography of Franklin. His instinct was to try to balance the conflicting values that were at issue during moments of tough debate and to find common ground. At the Constitutional Convention, he was, at 81, the elder statesman. During that hot summer of 1787, the rivalry between the big and little states almost tore the convention apart over whether the legislative branch should be proportioned by population or with equal votes per state. Finally, Franklin rose to make a motion on behalf of a compromise that would have a House proportioned by population and a Senate with equal votes per state. When a broad table is to be made and the edges of planks do not fit, the artist takes a little from both and makes a good joint, he said. In like manner here, both sides must part with some of their demands. His point was crucial for understanding the art of true political leadership. Compromisers may not make great heroes, but they do make great democracies.